July 27, 1994, Polly Johnson and Kay Briegel interviewing Ernest McBride at his home in Long Beach, California.
Yeah. But the time when we started the police, get this police complaint commission, that we are Long Beach had 5 men die in custody of the police department in 5 months. They had 5 men that died. And the one of them hung himself by the doorknob. He hung himself by the doorknob. And we went down, interesting thing, we went down to a bunch of them colored ministers, and that was here, they've been old, 5 or 6 years ago. A bunch of colored ministers went down, they stood there and sold us and got some of the blacks that they had put on the police force to come down, convince us that a man can hang himself by the doorknob, by a shoestring, and just as well as he could, he was up in a tree. And they sat there, and all of them accepted it, and they was asking, they couldn't see why. There was 2 more men in the cell when this fellow hung himself, and those 2 men never woke up. They couldn't tell why they didn't wake up and from this man killing himself, why they didn't wake up in the cell, until I finally pointed out to them that if he was killed with a chokehold before he was put in here, I said, then it wasn't hard that they have to wake him up. And so, but they didn't ask 10 more questions after then, because most of them wanted to get out of it. You know, one of the difficult parts, what made Long Beach a difficult place to fight discrimination in, was the fact that I bet you early back in the stage when the blacks being after Cabrillo home, that every black that bought or owned a home in Long, I say that at least 75% of the blacks that owned homes in Long Beach worked for the city of Long Beach. Because we the NAACP, that was one of our fights to get, because they had no blacks on the, and even in the sanitation department, they didn't have any blacks working there. We fought for them, and then when they did hire, that's why they hired them all in the sanitation department. Well, the only way that they were able to buy a home was through their credit union. When they got in the credit union, they bought homes throughout. Well, all of them, security was dependent on that job and that credit union. So they had to do what the city wanted to, and the city also. And I was offered 2 jobs for the city. And I'd taken examination for one for the city and one for Signal Hill. But the only reason I'd taken them is to get the application to see that they didn't try to find out whether they discriminated on the application. Because I was called for a city job, but I'd never accept it. Because I knew if I got everything I had and bought my home and everything through the city credit union, then they were going to control me. So I was a person that believed in free speech, and I used it. I believed in it, and I used it too. Because if I thought it was free speech, that's what I used. So, but it was really difficult in Long Beach. We had to look what happened with the Don Jackson case in Long Beach. Look what happened with the Rodney King case in Long Beach. What was any more? Police stand up there and push a man's head through a closed window. In Long Beach, put the policeman on a lifetime pension. Because of what? They feared no reaction in Long Beach. But when Los Angeles, they know that they had some reaction. And of course, I have to admit myself, I would advocate no violence. See, I would advocate it too. But where in Long Beach, it would work somewhere. It wouldn't work in Los Angeles. You just couldn't do it in Los Angeles. And by the way, I have, when I first come to California, living here in Long Beach, the time when they, the laws, and I was a black family in Compton, they put them in jail for contempt of court because they wouldn't move when the court ordered them to move. And I used to be with the committee that left Long Beach every Saturday and go up there, and they had sheriff and nail the house up. And we'd go there and tear the boards off the house and put the furniture back in the house, see the sheriff coming, we'd run across the street and hide behind the house till they leave and run one time. Last time I was up there, we put it, broke the house open three times. The laws was in jail. But you go up there, and we would leave here and go up there, but when something happened in Long Beach, you had difficulty organizing the people because so many of them were spread to death. At one time, we had a minister, Reverend Washington, here. He went around to the black areas, patches on Martin Luther King and 11th Street and 12th. They had become black in there then. And we had him to go around and tell them that if they attend the NAACP meeting, that the police say they're going to come out there and put us all in jail. Put everybody out there in jail. He went around. We had one of the biggest meetings we ever had. Everybody's there to see if we're going to jail. And that Sunday, I had my family doctor was there. And I go that Sunday I was secretary in the ACP. We had church full of people. And I, every case of the sweaty police had stopped people, and every case of police harassment had ever been reported, I reported that Sunday at that meeting. Because that was the time we had one of the biggest meetings we ever held at the Methodist Church. We had it. We would hold a meeting, one at the Methodist Church and one at Second Baptist. Each one Sunday was at Second Baptist, one Sunday was in there. And we even had the Roy Wilkin, head of the NAACP, he come here to Long Beach to pull the branch charter because we had blacks that rode in here and told them that we was a bunch of communists. And, of course, I guess I was a main communist and that was running the branch and wasn't ever run by nothing but the communists. And Roy Wilkin came to Los Angeles, and the guys in the branch that wrote this letter, they picked him up that evening, brought him down to Long Beach Police Station to prove that the branch was a bunch of communists. Well, and that night we held the mass meeting at Second Baptist Church for him. And when Roy Wilkin came there that night, they had to get chairs and put in the aisle and all outside the church door. People standing out there listening to him. And Roy Wilkin got up. Before Wilkin got up, I give a semi-review of the police activity in Long Beach and the cases I had at the cave. And when Roy Wilkin seen all them people that night, he complimented this branch as one of his best branches in there and went on back to Los Angeles. From then on, we didn't have any trouble. I had a lot of fun out of that. I held a meeting one time at Reverend Kirkpatrick's church, which used to be on 10th and Martin Luther King. And the national office wrote a letter and told us to acquaint the community and get somebody to speak and hold a mass meeting around the Muntz-Nixon bill that they had in Congress. So I went to San Pedro and got a lawyer from San Pedro who was a longshoreman lawyer. And so, to speak, to explain the bill, and held it at Reverend Kirk's church. Well, and that night, the fellow was president of the branch at that time. He got up and said, this meeting is McBride's meeting. It wasn't the NAACP meeting. He was a run the elevator, this fellow did, for the police department. He said that it's McBride's meeting and that the NAACP branch didn't have nothing to do with it. So when he sat down, I got up and read the letter from the national office, asking all bankers to hold a mass meeting in writing. I said, and that's what this meeting is, and what the president's talking about, I don't know. And so we had that meeting that night, and he tried, the president of the branch, he tried for a month to get the registration list from the branch. That night when the girl got through taking the registration at the door, she come and hand me the list, and I folded up and put them in the inside pocket. And he come by 12 o'clock that night, he come by here to see if I had the list. He wanted the list. And I told him I'd give it to you tomorrow, I don't have it. Next morning I got it and went out and back and burned it up. So, well, we had that to work with in Long Beach. It's been an interesting place to work. But one of the things I appreciate about Long Beach is the fact that I need not get any glory at all when I die. I've gotten them all while I live. I don't think that one black award has come out in this black neighborhood that I haven't got the first award. I was one of the first person they thought of. And I appreciate that. And I don't need any flowers. And I try to get my family, when I die, take me to the graveyard, bury them, and come back home, have a good time. But it ain't a tradition. But I have a very little, and just like my wife, and I figure she was the same way. So I tell you, the only way sometime you get the family together, the only way we'll miss her is somebody would bring it up. They all feel that confidence of her. And they thought that of her. She was an advisory to the whole family.
Well, it's clear from the things that you told us today why you have been very important.
Well,
the fact that you have had a concern about people.
That's right. That's right.
The betterment.
Yeah.
I think that's what has been important to the Cultural Heritage Commission as we have, you know, looked at the idea of things. You are, as you said, you've been there at the beginning of a lot of things.
Yeah, that's right.
And that your life here has really been important to the city.
That's right. Well, that's right. Always. Then again, a person never realized that being a black person and being in America, where American society is, you have two problems. One of survival, and then one of trying to get accepted. And you take a black kid, and they wonder why it's happening. I've always said that little as we know of, we are raising a monster in that black young man. We're raising a monster. And people has often said, and I remember my mother saying, that blacks never commit a crime like that. I said, Mother, at what's coming, going, what's happening in America today, this is going to be a little crime compared to what the blacks going to do. It's because they're raising a monster. And you take a black kid, he comes up, he walk in. I had it with my kids, my boys. Then you walk out, you got to constantly be aware of it. They walk out the door, there's a sign said, it's a white nation, you are not a man, you're little of a man. And this, he goes out with it. He becomes strong and muscle. They say, I'm not a man, I am one. And you get out, you're not. Then he's going to prove. So how is he going to prove it? There's a physical ability. He's going to prove it. Then he's going to be like a madman, trying to prove to the world that he's as good as you, he's as much man as you. And when that get in the mind of the youngsters, even mine would get up when they got 14, 15 years old, they figured they could whip dead. And I used to have them wrestle with each other. And occasionally I have to grab them and show them that I was stronger than they were. Well, you have that to, right, at the same time. Am I fighting for the right? I did for, I got the first black hired to telephone company here. I got the first black clerks hired in Long Beach here. I got the first black in the union here, 507 Union. I got the first black hired there. And you got to give up so much at the house, and yet you got to contribute so much. I had to live a life at home that my wife didn't suffer. My kids had to be educated, because when I went to the telephone company, I was negotiating them to get black girls hired to telephone, and nobody was passing exam. So I was sitting here one night, and I told my daughter, I said, how is it? It's none, doesn't make sense to me that these girls never passed this exam down there. And she said, well, Daddy, who's taking it? So I give the girl a name. Come to the front. Same, she's here. Said, and she said, Dad, that girl wouldn't pass. I said, no. I said, could you pass? She said, yes. Well, she was working as a army clerk in Linwood or Southgate somewhere. Anyway, and she was taking a girl to two girls up there was working with her. What is it? Huh? Exam. She said, yes, I can pass it, Dad. I said, go down and take it. She went down taking the exam. She passed it. So, and the man told her she'd go to work in a week. And so they paid $25 a week. She was getting $35 a week up there. So, but every weekend, practically, I'd have to set off and work on a car and fix it, see that it run, you know. So she said, well, Dad, they only pay a quarter, $35. I said, yeah, but you could work there until they hire some more blacks, and then you quit. She said, but I lose $10 a week candidly. I said, well, you're going to need that and more, too. I said, I'm not going to work on that car another day unless you take this job. And she quit and come down here and was the first clerk they hired for the telephone company. She quit and went down and she worked about a month, and they hired two more black girls. Then she quit and went to the dry dock. Went over and taking an exam for the dry dock, and they hired her there. And of course she left there because the lawyer's oath, so she quit there. And then she was hired as a county clerk. So she retired as an office manager for the county clerk.
So when you were talking about your own the jobs that you had, you said you worked at Ralph's and then you stopped there.
Yeah. When I left Ralph's, I went in the Navy during the war.
Uh-huh.
I worked as electrician I was electrician in the dry dock. And after the dry dock then, most of my work was community work after the war. And I never held, yes I did, I worked for Ford Company in Wilmington. I worked for them during that period. But when I left the dry dock, that was after the war. And I left there in January 45, because when Roosevelt died, I was there. I was always one of the organizers in the shipyard local. And I was the head of the grievance committee in the dry dock when we was working at the Navy dry dock. And so, and of course after the war and Truman got in, he started to fire the Union men. And of course I was the last of the Union men to fire because I had sick leave, I had annual leave, they set out to have you to take annual leave and stuff so the government wouldn't have to pay it. Well, I wouldn't take it, and so when I did decide to, before they fired me, I know they just a matter of time to get me. They let me try to work to make me take off some of the annual leave. Because when I left, I had over $1,000 worth of annual leave and over $1,000 worth of with retirement. And they wanted the government, wanted me to take it all down. So, but they, after they found out I wasn't going to take it, and they had got rid of most of the union men, and I went over to Local 92, and when I had helpers, because I was working in as a motor and generator electrician, and for 16 members in our group, and only four first class mechanics, and I was one of them. And so I had three or four fellas that worked for me, went over to Local 92, the union men, went over there and got jobs. But I went over there and the man told me, the clerk of the union told me that he had two blacks in that local and they was transferred from Los Angeles down here. And as long as he was secretary of that local, there was no more blacks for joining. He told me that because I had white guys in there was pressuring him too to put me in there, to hire me, because they were union members. But I told him, I said, well, you may not have men there. I said, but I tell you one thing, I'm going to see you will hire them. And wasn't a month before when we went to the government head office down here, hiring office down here on Pine, 428 Pine. And I went down there, and when we started to work on that union, they went and hired some blacks. I know he wasn't going to hire me, because I didn't go back, but they hired more. So, but I was offered jobs. Matter of fact, when Douglas opened up, Douglas first opened, we had the blacks. They wouldn't even accept black applications at Douglas. And we had the police department, one detective called me and told me he had some jobs open at Douglas that for Negroes. And I said, well, what kind of job? He said, dishwashing jobs. They're putting in a cafe. I said, well, we thank you for your help. I said, but we don't need the police department to help us wash dishes. I said, we've been washing dishes and scrubbing floors all our life. I said, we don't need the police department to get us no dishwashing job. And so I didn't hear from them no more. But that's how bad Long Beach were when they come in. And they, when they built it there. But I've had a lot of fun with, and since I've been in Long Beach, and I've been here since 1930. So, and
it sounds like you've enjoyed a lot of that.
I have. It's really enjoyable.
I was wondering more about the neighborhood. The place where you lived on Lewis, you said it was something and a half.
Yeah.
And I wonder, was it an apartment? Or
no, it was a... What I did, I rented a house. It was a house like this. And just about where that kitchen began there, they had built, the kitchen was there. And the back of the kitchen, they had built two rooms on the back of it. Well, and I stayed there. I rented the house because my family, I couldn't, at that time, it wasn't as big. The back rooms was unnecessary for me. And I had it during the war where people was crying for places to live. So I rented those back rooms for $4 a week to two people. And I wasn't paying but $20 a month for the house. So I made money off the house. See, the rent was froze, and $20 all he could get for the house. And I was getting $8 a week. I was getting for those two rooms, and well, that helped me really get on my feet from that. Of course, I paid him a lot more than the rent ever did. I used to pay him $25 a month instead of the 20. I'd pay him $5, but he couldn't get no receipt or nothing for it, because I just did it for courtesy's sake to him. But After the dry dock, though, I did work for poor people over there for the sake of having not only of having credit. That's the only thing I ever had a job for was credit. In the community, I did a lot of repair work to the community. My father was a carpenter. We built the two homes we had in Arkansas before we left Arkansas. And I practically built everything, even including the chimney, to the place. I built that in the house in Arkansas. And I did a lot of community work. When guys and people would buy a house, I did community work in every one of them. And then I used to do a lot of brick mason work, like that woman across the street there. She got over her furnace. I built a rock brick mantle like over that furnace. And woman over on the west side, I built them. Well, I had, when I left the little regular job I had there in Wilmington, when I left that job and retired, my wife, I come home, she told her I was going to retire. She said, oh, you're not. Because the morning I decided to retire, I had a lot, I always had extra work. In the evening I did. Janitor work, wash windows. And then I made a lot of money putting in broken windows because I could use glass, I could cut glass, I could install windows. And when I stopped working over there and come home, my wife told me, said, you're making more money outside now than you were on the job. I said, yeah, but I'm going to stop making that because I'm going to live off Social Security from now on. I'm going to live off this Social Security.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you putting that up there, Von Stay? Or am I talking too much? Maybe what's doing.
No.
You talk too much.
No.
Well, my wife always, she criticized me by talking. I said, well, I talk for the sake of freedom of speech, and then again, to know people, to learn things. He said, unless you talk, you'll never know what the other person thinks, unless you have them talking. So, I always believed in that. And just like when she said, yeah, and I'd be sitting down here and want a water, I want something, and the kid asked me, you want something, so I'll get it. She said, I'll bring it. I said, no, if I get the place I can't do, I'll appreciate you doing it. I said, as long as I can do for myself, I'm going to do it. And so that's the reason I don't let them wait on me. Kids, they're beginning now. They are just like, well, they don't know too. They occasioned me, so I feel like better for me to leave from around here for a while. Because I have three girls live right there in Wrigley area. I have two sons that live in Lakewood. And every day they're around here one, and at night they call, and I tell them to quit calling on their phone. And they just think, well, what's going to happen to me? They have a sense to think that I wouldn't have been around here if it hadn't been for their mama. I wouldn't have been. I would have been lost a long time ago if she hadn't taken care of me. But I have a lovely family. I appreciate it. No disturbance. I just called the attorney in to take care of business, redo a lot of it, you know, I had done. So she and I was intending to do it a long time ago. I told her that we had too many families when the mother and father leave. I found kids all getting, in particular one of our close families, and they all had a home over here on Warren, and they had four kids, I think. And when the girls came out here and told me, said none of them speak to each other over that house and what going. So I told my wife always, if we ever fall on our way somewhere in one of the airplanes, for have everything fixed. We won't have to worry about it. Be sure they won't argue. But they insist they won't have argument. I said, well, we're going to do the business anyway. We'll take care of business, whether it's an argument or not. So that's what we'll do. And what I did, too, is I made sure that they all understood the business. That one didn't have to ask if was this or was that. They all knew the same thing. And so I have a family that I'm proud of. And certainly, even though we lost, we had a great loss, we all realize we have more to be thankful for than to regret. Than we can regret. And so...
Before we leave, I would really like to take a couple of pictures.
Okay.
But we're interested in it, and I'd like to take a picture of the house outside.
You can. It'll be all right with me.
Do you have any other questions? I don't think so, but...